It's time now for Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by All Energy Solar, a full-service solar installer in the Twin Ports, and the Minnesota Power Energy Conservation Program, making progress toward a lower carbon energy future. Well, I've been thinking about this story for a while and reached out to John Pastor and asked if he would come on the show and talk about it a little bit this morning. And then, by golly, if Earthwise didn't talk about the very same thing. John Pastor is a professor emeritus in the School of Biology here at UMD, and he joins us this morning at a lovely social distance. Hey, John, good morning, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Lisa, for calling.
So I just said to you a moment ago on the phone, I said, I understand that there aren't really dolphins in the canals of Venice, but some of the stuff that we're seeing on social media, the photographs that we're seeing about areas of pollution that are really, really cleaning up. Somebody said the other day that they can see the sun in, I think it was Winona LaDuke, actually. She said they can see the sun in China. Are we seeing, and I guess my hope is not necessarily that this is suddenly a turnaround after 3 weeks, but are we seeing enough progress that people can get it on a visceral level and maybe do things differently going forward? Is the earth really healing?
Yes and no. Yes and no. Let me give you some good news first, okay, to perk up your morning here.
Save a little good news for the end, too, because I want to have good news at the beginning and at the end, and you can put the bad news in the middle.
Okay, well, at the end, I'm going to say what people can do.
Okay, that's good.
Do more.
That's good news.
And make themselves feel even better.
I like it.
So there, when you and I were, you know, young people, there were no bald eagles around. You could hardly see any bald eagles anywhere. And ospreys the same way. And that was because of DDT getting in the food chain up to the eagles and other raptors, peregrine falcons, and causing egg thinning. And the eggs would be squashed in the nest and not hatch. Well, we see eagles all the time now. In fact, just yesterday, Mary saw a bald eagle go over our house, migrating northward. So eagles have recovered. Peregrine falcons are nesting downtown and along the cliffs on the North Shore. Ospreys are back, everything else. A lot of rivers are cleaner now. The Cuyahoga River in Ohio doesn't burn because of oil slicks on anymore. And some of the rivers on the East Coast that were horribly, horribly polluted are now getting a lot cleaner, to the point where shad and even the occasional Atlantic salmon noses its way upstream to check things out. So things are getting better in a lot of places. On the other hand, the monarch butterflies are still in trouble. The wintering population in Mexico, which is all of our butterflies that go down to Mexico and some go to California for the winter, is half what it was the year before. So the monarchs are still in big trouble. 1% of the monarch population in California is left. It's down to 1%. There was a report in Science back in September put out by the Cornell Laboratory of Ornithology, probably the premier ornithological institute in the world, did a study. There are 3 billion fewer birds in North America than there were in 1970. Insect populations, at least in Europe, are down by 80%. And that's probably the same here. The reason why we know that in Europe is because they have very long-term data from local insect groups that have been surveying insects in local areas for a long time. And many of these insects are pollinators, so it's not just the honeybees, which are also still in trouble, that are affected by the neonicotinoids. It's probably all insects all over the place. So there are bright spots of where the environment is getting better, but there's this sort of background still of an overall decline that we are just now becoming aware of. And that's the problem. You know, you want the bright spots because those are the successes, right? There are some real successes, but then the big picture is there are these big general declines in broad categories of animals and plants as well.
For people that are concerned about these things and sympathetic to these things, of course, a lot of folks in our area, boy, I seem to know more people that nurtured generations of monarchs last summer, and I hope to eventually be able to get myself up to the place where I can help in that effort. For folks that are concerned about this, they're already clued into it. The numbers mean something to them. They're talking about it. But when you talk about 3 billion birds or you talk about numbers, sometimes it's hard for people to see. What I'm hoping is that people will be able to see some photographs of areas that are cleaner now, that there will be some visible differences in some spots because human beings have had to knock it off for just a couple of weeks, that will somehow be able to communicate the reality of what we're doing and how we can stop it.
Oh, you mean because of the coronavirus?
Because of the coronavirus.
Yeah, well, like the article you sent me this morning, it admitted this, that the air was cleaner, but it also said the coronavirus is not a sustainable way of
no.
stopping pollution.
No.
Right?
But
here's the issue. I don't know of any photographs like that, to be honest. The photographs you see are of the open Arctic Ocean when there should be ice on it and stuff.
Right.
But here's the issue. Let me ask you to just do this and the listeners to do this. Imagine in your mind right now, get a picture in your mind of all the vertebrate animals in the world, you know, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, and elephants and moose and deer, and reptiles and turtles and birds.
Okay.
So all animals that are vertebrates with a backbone that live on land.
Got
basically
it.
Everything except fish and insects, okay?
Okay.
So you got that picture in your mind?
Yep.
Okay. Now add humans and livestock to that picture. Humans, cows, pigs, chickens to that picture.
Okay.
Okay, so you got this huge mass of vertebrates, including humans and livestock. What proportion of that animal biomass out there are humans and livestock? Take a guess.
Ooh. 50%?
96.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, that's horrible.
96. And this is a peer-reviewed scientific study that appeared in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. So this is not some crackpot study, okay? 4% of vertebrate animals that live on land are wild animals, 4%. We have an enormous impact on the planet. Enormous, just simply because most animal biomass is either a human being or cattle or pigs or chickens.
Wow.
So what do you do? you know, I was on the board of the Nature Conservancy here in Minnesota for 6 years, and it's a wonderful, wonderful organization. And I support them absolutely 100%. But they had a logo now that says we are trying to make the world a better a place where humans and nature can both thrive, and I agree with that. Why would anybody disagree with that, right? And I agree with all their efforts to do that. But it seems to me when 96% of animals are humans and livestock, humans are thriving a little bit too much, you know.
There's a disparity in the thriving.
Yeah. Exactly. I wish it were only 50%. Honest, I wish it were only, and even that would be too high. But really, we are 96% of animals on Earth, you know, other than insects and fish. It's just, so what do you do? I don't know. What do you do? Well, let me give the readers some advice here.
All right.
There are organizations like the Nature Conservancy, Ducks Unlimited, which has a very active chapter up here. The Isaac Walton League, another old conservation organization, has an active chapter up here. And a little-known group, which is actually a national group, very widespread and a very active chapter up here called Wild Ones, which is dedicated to planting wildflower gardens in people's yards or helping people plant wildflower gardens for pollinators and everything else. Get involved with these organizations. The one flock or type of bird whose populations are actually increasing is ducks and waterfowl. And the reason for that is because since the 1930s, Ducks Unlimited has been doing habitat restoration and has been lobbying and educating public officials for wetland conservation. That's what does it. If people get involved and get involved in a concerted way, particularly through these organizations, we can change things. And the things that have improved largely because of activities of people through organizations like that.
Well, I have a wildflower garden in my backyard that I discovered last year is life-changing. And Carol Andrews of Wild Ones was,
yep.
and Cindy French were the
yep.
ones that donated plants. And Carol Andrews did a lot of the work because I'm not in the best shape. She did a lot of the work. And life-changing.
Yeah,
life-changing.
Exactly.
Just to be able to sit out yeah. in the backyard and stare at birds and butterflies. And
yep.
a lot of people are involved with the local, and the proper name escapes me, but a lot of folks are involved with the local monarch group, and they're very, very active, helping people understand the best kinds of stewardship for monarchs. And I realize that I've maybe got a strange social media feed, but just about everybody that I knew last summer was raising little monarchs and setting them free throughout the summer. So they're,
yep.
you know, people are, they're aware, they're planting the right food, they're cutting down on they're eliminating the bad chemicals, and they're taking good care of little monarchs.
Right. Yeah, we've done the same thing with our yard. Our yard is almost all, if it's not vegetable garden, it's wildflower gardens with paths to it. And our front porch, I sit out there, it's a front screen porch, and there's a table out there. That's where I go out in the summer and do work, writing and everything else. And I have a pair of binoculars on my table next to me, and I
yep.
just sit there. That front porch, I look out over our front wildflower garden, is it's a butterfly and insect and bird observatory. It's just amazing. And here's the thing. We started doing this, maybe about 15 years ago. So it's been a long time. But what I've noticed is every summer I see more and more different things. So when you do this, the first year or two, you might say, well, yeah, maybe I saw a monarch or two more or something like that. And that's good. That's good. But as you keep it going, it gets better and better and better and better. So the diversity of life out there, if we can, you know, just convert the monoculture of lawns to wildflower gardens, it begets more diversity the next year and the year after that and the year after that. So start doing this and stick to it, and things get better and better and better all the time. I mean, every year I must see at least 30 or 40 species of butterflies in my front yard. This is my little front yard. This is a Duluth front yard. How big
mm-hmm.
can it be?
Exactly.
You know?
And so for you, if it was, you know, if it was a month or two from now, heaven forbid that we're still sheltering at home a month or two from now. But I look out at my yard where with my little rhubarbs and my little iris spears poking up, and I think, oh, if I had to do this, you know, in a couple months, I could easily do that. I'd never go back. I think if people had the opportunity to stay at home and look at their gardens in June and July, they'd never go back.
Yeah. So, you know, there are things that people can do, and they're very satisfying to do. They're your little corner of the world. Take care of your little corner of the world, and if we all do that, things do get better. And things are getting better in certain places, but make no mistake, we're heading into a huge crisis that, as scientists, we have no idea really what's going to happen here, but it's not going to be good.
John.
And we've got to reverse that.
Thank you so much for taking some time to share the good news that we needed to hear to lift our spirits and the bad news that we needed to stay grounded in reality. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, John.
Thank you, Lisa. Bye.
Dr. John Pastor, a professor emeritus of biology, joining us this morning as our guest on Green Visions here on Northland Morning. Green Visions on KUMD is made possible in part with support from Heritage Window and Door, the Duluth Superior supplier for renewal by Anderson Windows and Doors, and from Minnesota Power Energy Conservation Program, making progress toward a lower carbon energy future.